Welcome to the Honor Pursuit Podcast, where we connect with entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and business owners who've built amazing things on the pursuit of their goals and dreams. And I'm your host, Brendan Boyd.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Honor Pursuit Podcast. Today, I'm sitting with someone who's known as the Funding King, right? He's going to be breaking down information and helping you how to build wealth, right? We're going to also talk about this wealth ladder that he was actually telling me a little bit about. And shout out to our guy, DePaul, for making this connection happen. On Imperfect Action Show, we connect with 6, 7, 8-figure earners, figure out some of the steps they took to become successful so you guys can have a fast track, man. So Andre Rosen, welcome to the podcast, bro.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. So we're in downtown LA, sunny downtown LA. We're just talking about how looks like the landscape of the city is turning very, very slowly. You know what I'm saying? That's probably the best way that I can say it, you know, eloquently. So let's talk a little bit about you, your story, how you have found the categories that you found to really help people build wealth. And, you know, how has that become like attracting to you? What even made you get into that that arena?
Believe it or not, the way I got into this arena is solely because of my parents. All of the principles and foundation that are in myself and my business today are things that I saw as a child, and it stuck like glue. And naturally, as I progressed as an adult, you know how your parents tell you something and then you're like, and it takes you a while. And then as you're growing and you're going on your journey, you're like, damn.
They was right all along.
Yeah. But you know, it takes us a while to boot up that software that they give us.
Yeah. That's a super fact, man. And it's interesting. Like, I was having a conversation with myself actually the other day, and I was just thinking to myself, like, kind of to your point, like those principles, right, that we learn as children, there are some that end up sticking and become part of our paradigm. So if you are in a family that is talking about real estate, talking about wealth creation, talking about credit, you know, even having conversations over the dinner table, you're going to take some of those things into your adulthood and into your relationships. But a lot of us, right, like I actually didn't grow up with either parent, right? So I didn't have access to either one of them to share information with me. And I know for a lot of, you know, some of from our community, we might have one parent, we might have no parents, right? We might have a step parent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is interesting that, you know, some of those building blocks stuck with you, and they are some of the things that we should be teaching now moving forward. And now since the information age, I feel like we can all kind of touch anything that we need to start building some of this information.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll say this. We live in the information age. I'm a big believer that there is an oversaturation of information. The way the human mind works is if we have too many choices,
we ain't gonna make none.
We're not gonna make none, or more than likely, we're gonna make the wrong choice. Mm. So my students and my clients, it's not a lack of information, or it may be a lack of some information. It's the implementation that most of us have a hard time. Because let's look at fitness. Hey, you know, I got a little something that I could lose, but most of us know how to get in shape. Stop eating, move more. Unless we have something medically wrong with us, that's the formula. But oftentimes we have to go to someone who specializes in that area to get us where we need to be. And what do they usually tell us? Stop eating, move more. I'm going to help you move more. Here's a diet. Stick to it. I'm going to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
And that's basically the same thing that we do at our agency, is we help our client implement strategies that gets them going on their wealth ladder.
That's a really good example, right? Because the way you broke it down, it's like, it's really simple. Like, I wouldn't question you if you were like, hey, Brent, let's say you're training me. I'm at the gym. If you like broke it down like, hey, listen, we're going to do some calisthenics. We're going to hit the weights. You're going to do some cardio, maybe hit the sauna, 45 minutes, 60 minutes a day. And that's the routine, right? And you're like, okay, we're going to do 3 to 5 times a day. And then this is going to be your diet. I'm not going to question that. I'm really going to be like, okay, cool. I need to move more. I can't eat the fast food. I'm going to drink more water. And I know that all I need to do is do this plan. But when it comes to, let's say, credit, wealth creation, most people seem a little adverse to that, right? Because they're not in my opinion, they're not approaching it in the same way they would approach the gym. It just seems different, right? Because I've had conversations with people and it's like they're not getting it. But I think to your point, it's the implementation part. Because it's literally the same thing. If I'm going to the gym, I have my plan. I execute the plan. 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, results. And it's the same way when it comes to wealth creation. That's basically what you're saying.
So just like fitness, there's a detox that has to go on in regards to ourselves when we're trying to make that transition from, hey, I want to build wealth. I want to build a legacy.
I like that.
And that detox is we are consumer minded. So there's a consumer minded detox that has to happen. Case in point, success loves speed. And this is coming from an amazing coach. If someone has a shortcut that will help you get to your destination quicker, and what they're asking you to do is, hey, you know what? I need you to do steps A, B, and C, or it costs $100, $5,000. Most people are adverse to it, but they'll take that same $500 and go see a concert because the concert makes them feel good.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I tell people, business and entrepreneurship is self-development disguised as business. So, I know it feels good to take that credit card and swipe. And that happens is because we're getting a 2-for-1. We give them the credit card, we swipe, we get the credit card back, and they give us a bonus.
Yeah.
So, oftentimes, when you're going to these mentorships or anything self-development, you're giving them your credit card or your cash, and you're not getting anything back because you have to work for it. And to some people, it's a shock. That's why it's that tossing and turning, like, I don't know if I made the right decision. Like, wait a minute. This one decision has the potential to change the entire fabric of your life. But people, it's not in a feel-good space because change oftentimes does not feel good.
What's up, yo? If you're watching this right now and you're a podcaster, right? And you want to monetize your podcast without brand deals, sponsorships, or a large audience, or maybe you just don't know how. My name is Brendan Boyd, and I can show you how to do that. Most people think you need a large audience, or you need sponsorships, or you need brand deals, but I'm telling you right now, you can make $5,000 to $10,000 every single month with your podcast without any of that stuff. All I need you to do is click the link below, grab my 100K podcast program completely for free, go through the course, and I'll learn the gems that can change your podcast and put you in the right position, all right? I see you on the inside. No, change doesn't feel good. And it's again, just like the gym. You go to the gym, you know what's interesting? Like, I do push-ups every day. I do, like, 200 push-ups every day in the morning, right?
Okay.
And it helps me kind of, like, in my blood movement. Every single day, the push-ups don't get easier. Now, if I take my shirt off or if I'm, you know, dressing, I can see the results. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't get easier, right? Now I'm getting used to the movement and I'm going to do the movement because now it becomes part of my routine, but it doesn't get either. So, yeah, I mean, easier. So to your point, I think, again, people like things that feel good. They like things that are pleasurable. Our brains are wired to keep us safe, to keep us comfortable. So if we're doing something that's against our paradigm, if we're doing something against what the current program it is, we are going to be initially adverse to it, right? So it's going to take a little bit of effort, consistent effort, to break that. And that's what accountability is about. And that's why, you know, people like yourself with the, you know, with the program and the agency that you have is important, right? Because that accountability you need, like, you know, you have 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks of being consistent. And then if I know I can tap into someone on a call, maybe a virtual message, maybe a Zoom, they're kind of like, hey, listen, I was thinking about kind of going off the plan. You know, this looks kind of good. It's a sale. I don't know. It might not happen again, what you're saying. And you're like, hey, listen, you know, stay focused, stay consistent. You'll be able to do all of that in 6 months because, you know, we're going to stay on the plan. It's really, really important, man. So I'm very eager to learn about this wealth ladder that that you was telling me about a little bit offline. So talk about this, you know, what are like the pillars on this ladder?
So interestingly enough, I'm going to rewind it back and talk about, and I have to give a shout out to my parents. These are the principles that basically started me on a path to create this wealth ladder. My parents taught me, well, they taught me many things, but three core principles that I carry with myself and my business today. Number one, they taught me the power of leverage. Mm. You know. Number two, they taught me the power of not leaving your tribe behind. I didn't say family. I said tribe.
Yeah.
Number three, they taught me that your life can change in a short amount of time. Matter of fact, my mom reminded me that a lot as a youth, because she's like, hey, don't go run with those boys, because in like 2 seconds, your life can change. So she beat that one into my head. And I'll give you a perfect example. My parents are Haitian immigrants. I'm a Haitian immigrant. So my parents came to this country and they work a below minimum wage job. I know nowadays most people would be like, yeah, right. But when you come into a country, either legally or illegally, there are employers that, matter of fact, forget employers. There are people that take advantage of you because, you know, you're low hanging fruit. You just want to work. You have a family. Like, you're looking at like, what? You're going to let me work? So my parents worked a job. And basically, there's a city about 20 or 30 miles down south of Miami called Homestead. It's a farming community. They got a job where they would get on the bus, dark 30 in the morning, get bused down to Homestead, and they would pick crops until the sun told them, no mas. So my parents didn't make a lot of money. But with the power of community, what happened is this. My parents got in something called a savings pool. Actually, in my native tongue, it's called ESO. So imagine if you, me and you, and 38 other people got together and decided each week we're going to pitch in a certain amount of our paycheck and it's going to go a merry-go-round. Everybody's going to get that amount of money each week until everybody has been fulfilled in that circle. So luckily for my parents, in a relatively short amount of time, I think within the first month, they receive almost their year worth of salary in that pool. They were able to leverage that and go buy our first home. So just think of that. You're an immigrant, you're new to this country, you're getting paid below minimum wage, but because of the power of leverage and community, you're able to take a chunk of cash. This was the 80s, folks, so yeah, you could go and just, you know, throw a chunk of cash down and buy your first home and then buy another home and another home from that. Where it's to the point where my parents, well, my dad's gone, but my mom's still here, has a $1 million real estate portfolio. Mm. And if most people would have been like, wait a minute, working minimum wage, she was able to obtain that. That's number one, because of the power of leverage. So one thing that I love about credit is credit allows us to use leverage. Especially the amazing thing is, you're going to hear this a lot, folks, and I'm sorry, I'm one of those guys, OPM, other people's money, to leverage opportunities to create wealth. Now, you don't want to leverage that money to, you know, go to Cabo.
Yeah, fact.
But if you leverage it in regards to real estate, a business, who knows? Now you have an asset that's bringing you back money, and you didn't have to use, whether it's money or whatever. Now you have an asset that's bringing you back a return, and you use somebody else's money
to create that.
So number two, in regards to the power of not leaving your tribe behind, my father touched down first in Miami, and he worked his butt off to go and get my mom, myself, grandparents, you name it. And then it extended to my aunts, you name it. And what I learned from that is this, that if you care about people, no, we all care about people. When you care about people, and I'm not saying leave, you know, there's certain people you could push to the left.
Some people need to be left.
Yeah, some people need to be left. But when you come up upon a good opportunity or whenever, it's important that you bring your tribe along. Take myself, for instance. I learned about credit, mergers and acquisition, and funding. I could have kept that to myself by working with different people. I have been able to change the fabric of their lives. I have people now that I'll get random texts and they'll send me like, hey, Andre, I'm cooking barbecue at the house. Man, this is the house you helped me buy. And boom, 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 boom. I'm like, all right. They're like, yo, why is this dude sending you like pictures of like, you know, random times in the day? I'm like, yo, he's a past client, man. He's excited. Yeah. I'm not going to knock it. But now, you know, it's like you're locked in with those folks. I could literally land on in any city in America, hit a client up, and they say, hey, can I come lay on the couch? Like, no, let me kick my mom out of the second bedroom. Come over here. So the power of a tribe is extremely important, especially in our community. And the reason I say that is this. There was a report that came out not too long ago about the wealthiest families, not wealthiest families, the families that have the most income in America. And if you look towards the top, Indian Americans and Asian Americans are up there. And what do those communities have in common?
Community.
Yeah, community.
Yeah.
Their tribe is strong. I love interacting with those communities, and they'll tell you. They'll come over here, boom. I'm getting mom. I'm getting wifey. I'm getting uncle.
Yeah.
We coming over here. We're going to start a business. We start at 7-Eleven. We start at a fabric shop. But slowly but surely, you blink and you're like, whoa.
They got the whole block.
Yeah, they got the whole block. You know, kids are in the best school, you know, killing academics, you name it. So the power of not leaving your tribe behind is extremely powerful and something that I want our community to embrace. And I always say this, there's something about our community where, and it's not that we lack talent because we have a lot of talent.
Yeah, we got a lot of talent.
It's something about us that we take pride in, like, yo, I did it on my own. But an army of one, in my mind, is an army of none.
Yeah. So I think. First of all, you talked about leverage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Power community,
mm-hmm.
Right? And the third one you was talking about.
Oh, I haven't hit you with the third one yet. I haven't hit you with the third one. I know I've been long-winded, but I haven't hit you with the third one. So let me know
if you're
ready for the third one.
I was about to mention it, but you ain't even. That's right. You didn't even go in. Go ahead.
Yo, the third one is your life can change in a short amount of time. Like I said, I saw it firsthand with my parents. In the span of like a month, month and a half, they went from living with my grandmother to, boom, being homeowners. And that has happened with myself in regards to my life. From purchasing a home like lickety-split to purchasing businesses and within like 7 days renovating the entire business, launching. So in a short amount of time, and I tell my clients and students this all the time, like when you have that window open, there's no half-stepping. You better run through that. You better act like you're a running back, and you better run through that crease because especially in this economy, things could shift, and the loan that you thought you had approved could move. Yeah, it's no longer available. So there's no half-stepping when it comes to that. Your life can change in an instant. We've heard that our entire lives, but this is on the positive aspect.
So leveraging.
Yes, sir.
Power tribe, and then your life can change.
In a short amount of time.
In no time.
In no time. There you go.
Short amount of time. So what do you feel like is important with people understanding that? So that's number one, right? So like really like receiving that initial message. And the second thing is, and I guess we could talk a little bit further about this also, but what do you think it is about like our community that does have that pride in like, I did it on my own. I got it out the mud by myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, why you think that is?
Part of that is, look, that's a very complex answer. And matter of fact, we're not even going to get to that. The one thing that I'll say is that I hope in this generation, it's something that changes.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest. A two-income household is going to be the one-income household every time. A two-person household is going to be able to raise better families every time. Just think about that. And myself, I have seen the most growth every time I've partnered up with somebody. You know, most of us, we look at a pie and think like, whoa, if two people are splitting the pie, that means less for us. That has never happened for me. Every time I've partnered up with somebody, whether in a large capacity or a small capacity, the pie didn't shrink, the pie grew.
It expanded.
Yes.
It expanded. So that's the foundation, right? So with that form of understanding, right, let's get into that wealth ladder.
Okay. So this is what the wealth ladder looks like.
Heavy game, y'all. Pay attention. Oh,
all right. So, and funny enough, in our community, the wealth ladder starts with credit. Mm.
So credit is the bottom rung.
Believe it or not, if I could, I would say credit is the basement, but I'm not going to do y'all like that. Right. Credit is a foundation. You know, you being from Boston, you know about basements.
That fact. Some people like, what are you talking about? I got no basement. What's that?
No worries.
I got an outhouse.
Yeah, no worries. So credit is the foundation. So a client or student comes in and we intake them. We do an analysis and we get their credit in order. That allows them to now, we open it up to get them funding. Funding gets them capital, whether it's to start a business, you know, or going in many different directions.
So credit,
funding, and then the third one.
Capital, getting access to capital.
The third one for me is we leverage that funding to go and purchase a business. I know most people would say real estate. The reason why I put mergers and acquisition, purchasing a business as the third step in our wealth ladder is because it is. If you're relatively new to real estate, it's going to take you a while to string some deals along to get $1 million deals. But we're in a day and age where America is for sale. And what I mean by that is this. The baby boomer generation is piecing out.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've put in 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years in a particular business. So imagine if you were able to source a business that is cash flowing high 6 figures, 7 figures in that micro range. Now, in one fell swoop, you could go from someone who had okay to bad credit to obtaining some capital to buying $1 million business and using the cash flow from that $1 million business. Now you could go and go to real estate, because now you're playing with bigger pockets.
So hold on real quick, because I want to make sure that they're getting this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, all right. So we're going to, credit is the foundation.
Got it.
Credit's the foundation, right? Getting access to funding. Now that we got some access to funding, we're going to look for a business that's already cash flowing.
Got it.
Which is creating some cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to acquire that business on a good deal, right? And now we have good credit. We got access to capital. We got some cash flow coming in, and that puts us in another position to make even more moves.
Right? Exactly. Right? And now you're able to leverage that business to go and create wealth, whether it's real estate, whether it's buying some more businesses, you name it. And the reason why the funding is sandwiched between the credit is because of this. If, let's say we find a business and we're taking you to the SBA, the SBA may want you to have some skin in the game, and that skin in the game is money. If you don't have money, you won't be able to acquire that business. So that's why funding is extremely important. It just opens up your world.
What's up, y'all? It's Brendan Boyd, speaker, productivity coach, and host of the On the Pursuit podcast. And I want to talk to you all about my brand new book, The 8 Secrets to Success Playbook. Now, this playbook is jam-packed with all sorts of value. So if you're a coach or a consultant or an expert and you're looking to 5x or even 10x your business, you definitely want to grab a copy of this playbook. I'm talking about conversions, lead generation, high ticket offer, continuity offer, the power of speaking, the power of making a book for yourself, promoting, advertising. Is all in this playbook. So you definitely want to make sure that you grab a copy. Click the link below, get a copy of your playbook, and I'll see you on the other side. So when talking about funding, and then I also want to talk about like business, like acquiring some of your businesses. So when we talk about funding, what are some of the different aspects of funding that someone can acquire, right? So we're talking about credit cards, we talk like loans, like what are we talking about?
Funding is basically almost a catch-all phrase. We're talking about, we could go personal funding, we could go business funding, but it looks like this. When most people think about funding, they think about credit cards, lines of credit, loans. If you're running a business, there's MCAs. There's a litany of products available to you in regards to funding. But the thing is this, we have to make you look credible. And what I mean by credible is this, having that credit. Because at the end of the day, having good credit means that you're someone who, your word means something.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. No one likes to deal with a lie. So if you're someone whose credit is subpar right now, and don't worry, folks, I'm not throwing rocks at the throne. We've all been there at one point in time, but that doesn't mean we have to stay there. You looked at someone who, you know, your word's not solid.
Yeah.
So no one likes to deal with a liar. So we're going to, you know, do our little juice and get that veil of being a liar off you.
Put some magic on that, sprinkle it. Get you right.
Get you right. So that's why credit is extremely important. Now it opens you up to getting that funding. And now you can leverage that funding. Like I said, my preference is mergers and acquisitions. So that way you can get your cash flowing business. And this is what most people don't think about. They ask me, Andre, what if I don't know how to run a business? Like, when was the last time you saw the owner of McDonald's on the Friday?
Yeah.
So what you can do, if that building is cash flowing $1 million or more, what we could do is we can find a competent person to manage it.
To manage it, yeah.
And now you have someone that is skilled, has been in that industry. And imagine if you put some incentives like, look, if, you know, profits go up by this certain amount or you say it was this amount, there's a bonus. Now you have somebody that's going balls to the walls for you and you get to sit back and benefit from that all because you had what? You had great credit and you were able to access some funding.
So what are some of the ways people are acquiring some of these businesses, right? So the reason why I'm bringing this up, right? So I've been paying attention to like Business Builder Bees. I've been paying attention to Cody Sanchez on YouTube and even Business Builder Brit. And they've been talking about like different ways to acquire businesses, right? So what are some ways people are able to acquire some of these businesses once they become like funding ready, like they're ready to go?
Okay. So believe it or not, is there's websites like BizBuySell, BizBen. There are a lot of off-market deals, you name it. We live in a day and age where there are communities in Facebook where, you know, baby boomers are retiring and they're listening to themselves. You can go to a business broker. There are businesses out there. So you go to these websites and we help you source a cash flowing business. So there's multiples, there's a litany of things that we have to look into to make sure that the business is on solid footing. Make that introduction with that business owner. And I often tell my clients this, buying a business and buying real estate are two completely different things. Because most of us, if we have any familiarity with buying real estate, we think we're going to go in there and just throw a price and walk out with a business. It is not like that. You have to go in there and basically get some camaraderie. Not camaraderie going. You go in there,
build
some rapport.
Yeah.
You sit down, you want to understand that person, why they started that business, why they're not passing it down to their children.
Yeah.
You know, and in regards to the employees, you want to see how many employees are family members. There's a litany of things that we go through.
Got a little checklist.
Yeah, checklist. Because what you don't want to do is buy an operation where that business owner and like four family members are the entire business. Because if he or she retires, what's going to happen to that business?
They're going to collapse.
They're going to go all out the door. So there's a checklist that we go down to make sure that you're getting a business that's on solid ground. And then from there, once that rapport is established, we just go to work to acquiring you a business. And believe it or not, folks, it's a lot easier than acquiring a piece of real estate.
So are people acquiring businesses like with no money down?
You definitely can acquire a business with no money down. Imagine this. Imagine you're a business owner and you come and you tell me, Andre, I'm ready to peace out. But you already have equipment that is bought and paid for. And I tell you, like, you know what? Let me see if I could do something. So I go back and I obtain a loan on the equipment that you already have. Since I'm going to be taking over the business, now that loan is mine. I hand you over the money from the loan. You shake my hand and you walk out and I continue to make payments. And business owners are like this, wait a minute. You didn't pull no money out of your pocket. Like, bro, you asked me for a price. You got your price, you know.
That's it.
Yeah, you know, you may have some people that are salty about that, but at the end of the day,
that's creative
financing. Yeah, that's called creative financing. I gave you exactly what you asked for. Yeah. It just looked a little different than what you thought it was going to look like.
Yeah, and I think that's important, too, because it's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could look at the same thing. Like, look, we're looking at this Mobot. Shout out to Mobot real quick. Mm-hmm. So looking at this Mobot, right? So you can see the logo right here,
mm-hmm.
right? And I can't right now. So you could argue with me like, yo, Brendan, this has a logo on it. I could be like, RJ, there's no logo. But we're looking at the exact same thing. And I think that's important to know that there's a lot of different ways to make a deal happen, and especially with business, because I learned that just by going down the YouTube rabbit hole, you know, just on like how every deal isn't just like this happens and then we got the business, right? How, like you said, you could get a loan on the equipment, right? Or, you know, you can put another deal together that might also be creative to acquire a business. Like, you just have to kind of just think out the box, right? Because ultimately, that business owner, he just wants to get out of actively running the business. And if you can find a creative way that works out for both of you guys, you can come to a deal, then, you know what I'm saying, you can acquire that business.
You're absolutely right. And to be honest, the people who do the best is the people, well, you have our help as well, that are able to look at things creatively. And real estate, I think gentleman's name is Pace, and I don't want to butcher the last name.
Pace Moby.
Yeah. He does creative financing in regards to real estate. Some of those same principles apply here. You can actually tell a business owner, like, look, I'm in the business of making sure you're taken care of and not overpaying the government. So how about we do this? I'll pay you a certain salary for X amount of time, you know, boom, and make these payments and make sure that you get taken care of. So that way, you know, you're going to get your funds.
And that might be cool because now they know they can get a certain amount every single month.
Yeah. And believe it or not, and a lot of people are going to laugh about this, like, Andre, why wouldn't these business owners pass their business on to their children, a family member, or somebody in their close circle? Let's think about it, folks. How many of you want to do what your parents do?
Not a lot of people.
Yeah, not a lot of people. And then not only that, and kids, don't throw tomatoes at the cameras or the TV, but a lot of children feel like, hey, my parents should gift me this business or give it to me. Or your parent may come and say, look, I want $1 million for this business or 1.5. Like, nah, I ain't giving you no 1.5. That I give you 200,000, 400,000. Because oftentimes, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, we don't see the value of something if it's in our face all the time.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I was actually gonna when you mentioned that, it just kinda hit me because sometimes we just want the end result. Like, you know, your son, daughter, or just family member, they may not really see the profits that are coming from that and that the overall value of the business, right? So if that business is, you know, bringing in, let's say, $1 million a year, the overall value is way more than that, right? So, you know, that son may not be wanting to purchase that. Or maybe there could be some, you know, some infighting within the family.
Yeah, you know.
And, you know, dad, mom, or whatever, uncle, they're like, yo, listen, they're not even going to take care of this business, you know? So I can't even begin to, I've been putting in 3 decades, right? I give this to my son and my daughter, and they're just going to run it to the ground. Like, they're not going to care about it, how I may want to run it or care about it. But I think that's very interesting, you know, looking at the way that you kind of set it up, because I think people would think, like, real estate would be kind of like the obvious, like, next thing I would do once I you know, have my funding and I have access to capital. So what would happen after that? So we have credit funding, we acquired a business, And then you mentioned some real estate.
Yeah,
at that point, we
leverage that capital. Now you could get into real estate. And the reason that I structured it like that, and like I said, folks, this isn't solid. You're more than welcome to change it up to fit your life. Most of us aren't going to get into real estate and be a real estate kingpin. And what I mean by that is our first deal is not going to be something that's netting us $1 million a year.
Yeah.
But that can happen with a business. So I like it easy. And what I mean by that is, you know, just like we like rooting for winners, the Sox, the Yankees.
Sox, Patriots, Celtics.
Yeah, you know.
Bruins, what they lost this year. Yeah. They had the best record.
Okay. Yeah. So, look, by going in that direction, we're able to leverage the cash flow from that business. Now we could go into real estate. We could go get creative. We could be a private money lender. There's a myriad of things that we could do. So imagine you get that cash flow from that business, and now you're loaning that money out for double-digit returns to other people's real estate projects because you're still a rookie in the real estate game. Now you're giving that money to somebody that, let's say, somebody who came from PACE's program, who knows what they're doing, who promised you a certain rate of return on their project. Now you're using, look at this, you're using money that you didn't have 6 to 12 months ago now to bring you double digit returns. Like, come on.
That's crazy. Yeah. What's up, y'all? So I want to take a second to speak to my creators. So whether you currently got a podcast or think about launching a podcast, maybe you got a YouTube channel or you think about launching a YouTube channel. Here are the facts. Did you know that 9 out of 10 creators actually quit because they don't have anyone to hold them accountable? That's why all you need to do, right? Click that link below, join my Action Takers community, because not only are we gonna hold you accountable, we're gonna teach you how to execute at a higher level. Plus, give you access to principles and strategies to grow your mindset and generate more revenue. So what are you waiting for? Click that link below and join one of the fastest growing content and accountability communities, all right? I see you on the inside.
One of the questions I have is when talking about some of these businesses, are you seeing any consistency with some of the businesses that people are acquiring? Like, are we talking about like, you know, plumbing, cleaners, you know what I mean? Like, are there any businesses that seem like, you know, investors are picking up, or is it kind of like all over the place?
Well, I'm gonna say it's all over the place. And it's also dependent on the person. Some people are like, look, I never saw myself in this industry. Like they're gonna be a plumber. This is what I tell people. The most important things is this. We have certain criterias that we look for. We want a certain amount of employees. Mm-hmm. We want a certain amount of cash flow. We want a certain history. We want to basically examine that business from A to Z to ensure that we're making a wise decision. And look, this is the best part, folks. There's this organization called the SBA that has seen businesses succeed and has seen businesses crash, and they have all of the data pertaining to that particular industry, how much you should buy a business for, and so forth and so on. So, like, literally, I want you guys to be like Burger King. And what I mean by that is this. McDonald's is one of the largest fast food corporations in the world. And what Burger King did was like this. I'm going to let them go do the hard work and pick out the perfect spot to place a McDonald's. I'll just park right next to them. So the SBA is doing the work. Go park next to the SBA, siphon all their information, and use that to go and create wealth for you and your families.
Why is that important nowadays, you think?
And what's that?
In terms of creating wealth for your family.
Well, look, once again, don't throw tomatoes at the phones, folks. We've been saying it for some a long time, generational wealth, generational wealth, generational wealth. But let's be real. Men lie, women lie, the numbers don't. In regards to our community, we're behind in regards to wealth creation. There's a litany of things that has us behind the eight ball. Right now, we're in a day and age where we can rebound extremely quickly if we do the right things to get us there. And we all want to leave a legacy, whether it's for our family, our community, you know, the people around us. And the reason why I am passionate about this is this. I can't leave a legacy in my bank account, or I don't want to leave a legacy in my bank account. I want to leave a legacy in people. So to me, that's why this is something that I am extremely passionate about. Because think about that. If somebody hands you a stack of hundreds, you may spend it, and somebody may be like, hey, remember when so-and-so gave you the stack of hundreds? Oh, yeah. But when somebody leave a legacy in you, you like, gives you your first opportunity, buys you your first camera, shows you how to set up your first podcast. Man, yo, man, I remember when Andre looked out for me. Look. For
the, yeah, you get them text messages. Yeah, you're like, yeah, this is the house, right?
So leave a legacy in people. And by going up this wealth ladder, it will allow us to do that.
So are those, is that the full steps on the ladder?
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you guys have a couple more pillars you guys want to add, you're more than welcome. But you know what? There's only so much I could, so far I could take you.
So with some of the students that you have worked with, that you have helped, what are some of those examples that they've had experiences? Like, have you worked for someone that had, like, let's say, terrible, dusty credit, and now they're just in a way better situation?
Oh, yeah. Oftentimes, people think my students or my clients' testimonials are capped, because they start going like this. Man, I started from, like, the 500s. I got an 800 credit score. I went and got, like, $400,000 or $500,000 in funding. I did this in regards to my business. I'm about to go get this. I went and got three vehicles. People be like, yo, ain't no way, boy. Like, ain't no way. But literally, folks, it can happen for you that fast. Matter of fact, DePaul.
Shout out to DePaul.
Shout out to DePaul. He was a guy who will tell you that your life can change in such a short period of time. Look, I was like this. I was bully balling DePaul, because DePaul started as a client. Now he's like MJ. He's just boom, yeah. Tongue in the air, the whole nine yard. That quick. You know, I gave him the rock. He ran with it. And he was like, look, boom. He ran to the goal line and he kept running. I was like, yo, come back.
Yeah. And I think what's dope about DePaul is that it's him and his wife. You know what I'm saying? So they run in place together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important when, you know, you're someone that's making a decision and, you know, you're able to run with someone that's very close to you, be it, you know, in a relationship or in a marriage or partnership or whatever the case may be. Because sometimes it's the other way where, like, you know, you made a decision and then the person that's closest to you, they may not be on the same time. They may not be on the same wave. So it might deter you or even slow you up from making that momentum. And I think, you know, that's when it's like a different conversation. You got to really, you know, we talked about earlier how, like, you know, you want to bring some people with you.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you got to let some people go.
And once again, folks, I'm a big believer in the power of having a tribe. And we can take a look at sports. The best basketball player in the world, the GOAT, Michael Jordan, he couldn't beat the Pistons. Michael Jordan could never beat the Pistons. The Chicago Bulls beat the Pistons. But when Mike was selfish and he didn't buy into the system, what happened every year? They was losing left and right.
Yep.
So that shows you right there that it doesn't matter how talented you are, it's hard to overcome an army. Like I said, an army of one is like an army of none.
So what are some of the things that if someone's watching right now, right? If they're listening, if they're like, yo, I want to get myself a wealth ladder, and then I'm going to start climbing this wealth ladder.
But right now, they're looking to change their mindset. Well, what are some of the things they can do initially to start building some momentum, building some good energy as they start to approach this wealth ladder?
Okay, number one, you have to really lock in and decide, do you want to change the fabric of your life? Because no different than fitness. You know, we may say like, hey, every January the 1st, those gyms are flooded.
That's a fact.
They're flooded. You know, by the end of the month, LA Fitness or whatever gym is in your area, they're like, yo, we done got like 6 months worth of membership. Go ahead, stay home. We got you. So decide that, hey, I'm ready to make a change. Number two is, this is what I tell people, the power of mentorship. And all we have to do is look at our workplace. And what I mean by that is this. Most of us, whenever we go to a new workplace, I link up with you. You take me under your wing. You're like, yo, that supervisor's a snake. Don't mess with her. Yo, this is how you sneak in if you late. This is boom, boom. This is how you make a shortcut to this. Hey, if you want overtime, this is what you... And literally, by that person taking you under their wing, it helps you tremendously. So if we see that example in regards to our professional workplace lives, imagine in regards to personal growth. Mentorships are extremely, extremely important. And we have to realize, your coach has probably made all the mistakes that you're going to make. So why don't I circumvent those mistakes by getting with somebody and not bump my head?
Yep. And that's the whole point of this podcast, right? Learning from amazing people like you. I mean, you just kind of reiterating those steps. Somebody can take the information that they learned just from this, decide, hey, listen, I want to lock in with Andre, or, you know, I want to make that decision to start changing. So after I made that decision, what else do you say?
You have to be committed to the journey. And there are going to be people that are going to try to knock you off your block. We have to look at it like this, folks. Nobody wants to eat at an empty restaurant. We've heard that a million times. So when you're going on that journey, it's going to be a lonely journey for a little while. There's going to be, you know, spouses. There's going to be family members. There's going to be friends. And this is what I tell a lot of my students. You go, if you decide this is a change I want to make for myself and my family, if you have a significant other or anybody in your family that are like, oh, I don't know, I want you to go and tell them, I'm asking you for support. I'm not asking you for permission.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. And because let's be frank, there are times in our lives that we made a decision and we're like, man, you know, my folks are telling me not to go to this school. And you're like, man, that's one of the best decisions I made. Because I'll tell you this, I'll use myself as an example. I made a decision, instead of going to art school, to go to the military. My mom wasn't having it. She was not having it. My recruiter came to get me at 4 o'clock in the morning. She woke the whole family up. They was on the steps, and she was just like... And I had to be like... Yo! But you know what? When I graduated, I was able to go and get my bachelor's degree, then my master's in business, the whole nine yards. It was one of the best decisions I've made. And I had to tell my mom, like, look, I'm asking for your support, not your permission. Look, I didn't put my chest up and say it like that, but you know.
Yeah. You did it in a way that she was
not listening. Oh, yeah, man.
What's up, y'all? Listen, if you are a business owner or entrepreneur and you juggling your email, your text messages, you don't have a CRM, you don't have any automation, you don't even have your social media posts scheduled, I have the solution for you. What you wanna do is tap into the lead attraction system. This is an all-in-one system that's gonna handle your text messaging, your email, your CRM, your invoices, get you paid, your digital products, your memberships, your courses, your funnels, and also, it's an all-in-one solution. So you can get rid of all these other things. It's in one system, you pay one price every single month, and they also have a weekly office hours so you could tap in and learn while you are breaking in the system. So I don't know what you're waiting for.
Tap into the lead attraction system. The link is below. Grab this all-in-one system. Grow your business. I'm going to see you guys on the next one.
Were there any books that either inspire your journey or any books that you acquired along the way that you would recommend?
These are some great books. Who, Not How.
That's a dope book.
Yeah. That's a dope book. Let's take a look. Rich Dad, Cash Flow Quadrants. You know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Let's see. Boom, boom. If we're going marketing, I'm going to go with my girl, Uncloned Marketing. She's amazing. Boom, boom. Book Yourself Solid. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Think and Grow Rich. Oh, Bob Proctor, You Were Born Rich. There are a ton of books. For the ladies, Richest F, $100 Million Offer.
Yes, a five book,
you know, yeah. Purpose Driven, and we could go on and
how
on.
How did they get Andre's book list?
Yo, join the community, folks. You guys can look me up on all socials. I go by my real name, Andre J. Volsey. Even though I got the mogul up mindset. Matter of fact, most people ask me, what does that MU stand for? I tell people this. Look.
If motherfucker, you understand.
Well, I don't think that could be. Look, they're going to demonetize that. But the MU stands for mogul up mindset, which means this. Look. We can mogul anybody up if you change your mindset. So, folks.
I like that. So any, we talked about some books. You gave it the foundation. You gave it the Wealth Ladder, right? You gave us a lot of principles. We talked about the importance of not just generation wealth and leaving the money, but generation wealth and planting the information, leaving a legacy in actual, you know, people. What else would you like to say to the people, man? I mean, we touched on a lot of things here. How can people get a chance to tap in with you?
In regards to tapping in with me, like I said previously, I'll say it again. You guys could reach out to me social media-wise on every platform, Andre J. Volsey or Mogul Up Mindset. But most importantly, I want to say this. Folks, we're in this together. We all we got. We have it's not from lack of talent. Cause look, this brother could set up a podcast blindfolded. We are extremely talented. We've seen that from the beginning of time to now. They gave us, you know, pig intestines. We made some stuff with it. So we are very resourceful. We have deviated away from that community. And I think right now that's the biggest thing that is kicking us in the butt. And that's what I love about working with our students is this, that power of community where you're going to meet your next business partner. You're going to meet your next accountability buddy. Mm-hmm. You're going to meet, you know, possibly your next spouse in our community. And folks, the power of community is everything. Everything. And please, please, please start forming those connections right now.
So listen, y'all, make sure you tap in with Andre. The Instagram is Andre J. Volsey. That's all platforms?
All platforms.
All platforms. Tap into the community or what are the ways that they can actually work with you? So if they wanted to jump into, you know, the community or if they wanted to get a little bit closer, kind of like accelerate, you know, their journey with working, what are some of the options?
So if you guys want to accelerate your journey and you want to actually tap in, we have an academy where every week we meet over Zoom, we have a community, and we basically take you on your journey. If you're somebody that needs help with credit, we have a done with you system where we do 90% of the work. And what I mean by that is this, most people that take any type of self-development class that is DIY, you usually don't do DIY nothing.
DIY stand for DIY nothing.
Yeah, and it's true. It's like at an 80 or 90% clip. So, and that's why I say the power of mentorship and community is extremely important because we make it hard for you to fail. Because at the end of the day, you're not a good representation of my brand if you can't basically explain the fundamentals of credit. You don't know what happened to you. Like, hey, how were you able to start your wealth journey? Well, I went into the alley. Some guy named Andre hit me over the head and I came out a millionaire. That's not the kind of people we want in our community. I want you to be able to break things down to your family, to your friends, and then help them on their journey, because that's what this is all about.
Yeah, man, that was great, man. I appreciate you for stopping in, bringing a wealth of knowledge, you know, motivating and inspiring, and then obviously letting people know, even during the information age where there's so much information out there, how valuable it is to prioritize wealth creation and just, you know, changing that mindset and making that a priority to really lock in and change the situation. And I love how, you know, you got that principle from your parents that, you know, things can change fast, right? So make sure you guys tap in with Andre again. It's our Andre J. Volse on all platforms. Jump into the community. Shoot him a DM if you have any other questions. You know, you may not be ready to go, but you need a couple questions answered right away. Make sure you shoot him a DM. This has been another episode of the Pursuit Podcast, on the Pursuit Podcast, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.